Hey, comedian Adam Newman here, letting you know about Pussy Boys, a brand new podcast I co-host with my funny friends where real men talk about their love of cats. So tune into Pussy Boys on the Seltzer Kings Network and like, listen, subscribe, write us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. That's Pussy Boys, all Z's. Trust me, you don't want to go where the S's take you. It's gross.
Need more bass.
Moon please. River rock. Moon river roll. Moon river roll.
See, that's our joke. That's our, yo, turn it down. That's our joke. That's our rap joke. You know? You never hear a rapper right. Say turn it down.
Palm that's tree right, girls. Zone. Palm yeah, tree right. Boys. Palm
tree. You can't rarely. Promise old look, men.
Look, when I thought this was a good idea, I knew it was a good idea, is all I'm saying.
Well, let's put this good idea into fruition. I don't know. And start the show. Welcome to the Adventures of Danny and Mike. To my bottom left, Mr. Michael C. Marona.
It's me.
To his right, Mr. Danny Tamborelli.
Hey, how you doing?
And my name is Jeremy. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so happy to be back. Our guest for the entire hour. Oh, man, this is going to be fun. He is the drummer from Dr. Dog.
He is currently touring on his 2020 album, Wiseacre, and has two upcoming shows that you should check out. One at the Knitting Factory here in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, and on March 1st and March 2nd at the Philomoka. His name is Eric Slick. Welcome, Eric.
Hello.
Thank you so much.
Hello. How are you? It's good to see you.
Hi, Eric. We're doing great. We're all here.
We're two-dimensional highs. Highs.
Well, we're happy to have you. We'll put it that way.
Oh, gosh. You three are rockers and I'm not. It's going to be a whole show of rock
not
references
true.
That I don't get. No. I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm ready. Let's do it.
We can talk about
game.
Other stuff.
No.
A game.
Good, dude,
game.
Come on. Look, we can get it. We can wax intellectual about Hal Hartley films if we want. We don't have to go right into all the music. We can hit your little wheelhouse. We can do a little Dragon Ball Z if you like. I mean, also don't forget you rocked out at Toad's Place. Eric Slick knows if you play at Toad's Place in New Haven, Connecticut, then you've obviously made it in life. And
can we talk about Toad's Place? Can we just talk about
yes?
Have you
yeah.
did? Do you remember the hot tub?
The Rolling Stones were in this hot tub.
Yeah. every venue you ever play that has a hot tub, they're like, you know, P-Funk was in the hot tub last night, and they clogged the hot tub with their funk.
Why does a music venue have a hot tub, I guess, would be a question.
Look, we played there was a place in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're hitting New England right now, and that's okay. We'll get
circle back to New York and Philly,
which
yeah,
is mostly
to
what we
plug-in,
do.
But
yeah, like mostly New York and Philly stuff. Mm-hmm. But the Lucky Dog Music Hall in Worcester, Massachusetts, which like their claim to fame was in like that mid-70s when like the Stones were mildly obscure or whatever, playing like 350, 500 capacity rooms in the United States, which is insane to think about. That they were like,
yes. Ah.
We played the Lucky Dog and it was like the hottest day in July. And Worcester is such a fucking fuck town that their AC unit was robbed. They just like people ripped it off for parts, like straight up scrap copper. Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. And then and they were like, sorry, dude. So we played this show with like maybe like 50 people in it with like the biggest fucking just exhaust fan just pushing them because they were like, sorry, like you know, this is really hot in New England and we don't have air conditioners, and ours was robbed.
That's one of the
for the copper.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That's one of the early Danny and Mike tropes we used was pushing in your air conditioner, which was a big thing in New York City. People would just push in the air conditioner and then rob your house. You know what I mean?
Because
they
wouldn't
protect the shit, you know.
Of course, they wouldn't caulk it.
Right. Right. Exactly.
They wouldn't properly caulk it. To add to your story, I played at maybe the coldest show. Because it was in the dead of winter at a warehouse. And so they were like, yeah, we have all these heat lamps left over from last night's show. I was like, what's the show from last night? And they're like, it was an orgy. We had an orgy at the venue. And it was a private. And I was just like, oh, like I was sitting on the couch. I was like, oh, no.
Wait.
Yeah.
A musical orgy or like a real life orgy?
No, like a private event.
So you can
like it was a warehouse.
It's like you think they wouldn't tell you that. This warehouse is a pretty nice green room. I like it.
Get out of here. We got to get Sleep No More in here next week.
the all nude version of Sleep No More. Yeah.
I've been trying to find this room for the last 17 years. I can never find that one room with that one thing that I've been trying to see forever. Nobody taps me on the shoulder. But I like, Sleep No More. Great. I enjoyed it the one time I did it.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet. It's all my to-dos. It's
sorry,
all my to-dos.
Didn't mean to bring it down, guys. My bad.
It is a sad thing.
It's okay.
That performance art is real. Shut the fuck up.
So Eric, touring, going to Brooklyn, Philly, pretty familiar places to tour.
Yeah, I'm from Philadelphia, so it's a hometown gig, technically. And then New York, I don't get to play too many shows in New York, so this will be a really good time. It's at the Knitting Factory. You ever been to the Knitting Factory?
Great spot.
It's fun. Fun little room. Philly,
used to be called the Luna Lounge. Back in the day, it was the Luna Lounge. I only know that because I was an anti
Baxter?
No, I was an anti Apple like for a little bit, and in just in terms of like, you know, your iPod or whatever, I had this creative.
Now you're just anti Alias.
I had this creative Zen Touch, okay? It had more gigs, I had more songs on it.
And it's better than the Microsoft
Azure. Creative Zen
Touch. That's what it was called, Creative Zen Touch. And I played a show, and I had that in my pocket, and I jumped up onto the stage like for a rehearsal, and it flew out of my pocket, and it hit the concrete floor, and I was like, oh, that's not good. And it stayed alive, and I listened to it the whole way home, and then it died, and I could never turn it back on, and it like haunts me. Every time I walk into the Knitting Factory, I think about that, and I'm like, oh, God damn it.
Zen
the fact that it's called Zen Touch, I'm like, there's nothing Zen in the past now. It's not. When I think back on it, it just stresses me out.
What did you get after the Zen Touch? But what did you get after the Zen Touch? Did you get an iPod Mini?
Azure.
I got a
Microsoft Azure.
What was it? The
Zoom.
The first, it was the iPod Shuffle or something. That was I got that instead.
You got no
and
songs.
And I just clipped it. No songs, but I, you know, clipped it right here to like the lapel of my shirt. And I was excited that I could like pretend like I was a Secret Service guy, but I was just changing different kind of
you're
my
just
voices.
Listening to Dr. Dog. Yeah.
I could pretend.
Hey man, you know, you gotta have dreams. That's what I'm saying.
You do. This is great, guys. We're killing it.
This is the thing. When there's no direction. There can be one direction.
There's no direction home.
You know.
That's right. No, we got a direction. We're talking about tour. We're talking about touring life. You know, we're having stories.
I mean, I've already written one note, which just says clubs with tubs. So I feel like we're doing good. Yeah.
Knitting Factory and Philomoka don't have tubs, sadly.
No.
But maybe if someone wants to bring a hot tub to the show, I mean,
change that exactly.
We tried to do that. We did a Florida run and we said anybody that shows up with a portable hot tub will get in free, get some free merch.
I don't remember.
They said
that.
They were going to show up, never did. So it's
not really COVID friendly.
Not these days. No, yeah, we're talking pre-COVID, Eric.
Yeah,
but the bassist from Primus and lead singer, he was in that tub, so that's why they were very hot on it.
That's what? Oh,
yeah, I'm using the Rolling Stone joke. Oh yeah, you're a big Primus fan.
I'm a huge Primus fan. I grew up. No, I mean, like, I saw Primus on MTV in 1995, and I think I was changed forever. I think a lot of my friends liked Primus. They put out enhanced CDs. They made claymation videos.
And then South Park, they, you know.
South Park.
Even before all that,
He had a funny looking bass. Drummer had a lot of drums, a lot of cymbals. It's like all the things a teenage boy likes.
Oh my God. In college, I had an upright bass teacher, Don Baldini, who was the last, like, his claim to fame was, I was the last bass player for Sinatra. And he, like, sat on a bar stool because he was 4'11" and couldn't stand up next to an upright bass and had to, like, sit and play. And he had one of the early, Thompson basses or whatever.
Oh, Carl Thompson.
Grew up under the Bayonne Bridge.
And he's like, he tried to sell it to me once. He's like, this is like an original. And it was a fretless and it was kind of cool, but it looked janky and kind of beat up. Like, it was like Carl Thompson was like, working on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Crappy. He gave him a crappy bass.
He gave him a crappy bass.
Mike, I feel bad. I feel bad for Mike right now because we're just talking about bass and I can already tell.
No. Look. Uh-oh.
The bass player always gets the good looking girl's best friend.
Who gets the girl?
Should we talk about anime? Should we just talk about anime? You said
this is so weird.
He's got a left-handed guitar. Slick. He's got a left-handed.
Yeah, my son tends to.
Camera's not good enough.
That's my Primus ticket from 1995. We did an episode once where I pulled out all my ticket stubs, and I'm not going to do that
stubs.
Again. Stubs. I'm just saying. Big Primus fan. I'm with you.
I said 95. I literally referenced the year of the ticket.
Mm-hmm. The year
That's
of
incredible.
The ticket.
November.
At that point, the ticket should begin to glow and get activated.
Okay. But Mike, so you have a left-handed guitar you're trying to learn.
No. My son has his own guitar, and he's 5. And that goes a little early for the guitar because he doesn't play it all the time. But recently, together, we put together an amplifier, which I'm pretty proud of.
You put it together?
Yeah.
Like, is that what you soldered? Is that your first solder job?
Yeah. Oh, my solder job is garbage. I got to go back and do all those solders again.
Oh, dude, they make a wireless solder.
Oh, the LED was okay. The LED was okay, but there's like other solders involved in making a guitar amp. So.
You built one from scratch.
You can get these kits that just have the pieces.
They just turn like
that's
a Marlboro
still from
pack
scratch. Just because you have the right. pieces right. to
Hold
put
on.
It together.
For the listener, listener, Mike's gonna step away.
Are you going to get it?
I want to see this Maybe? Thing because I've been playing music my whole life. I've never built a guitar amp.
Ditto.
What are we looking at?
Ditto.
It's not that
the
big.
Suspense is killing us, Michael. Please.
Oh, a cigar box.
Oh, a cigar
Genius.
Box.
Okay.
Very
okay.
cool.
You being musicians understand this.
For the listener, Mike held up his handmade cigar box amplifier.
Is that a Cuban? Are those Cubans in there? Yeah.
So that's what they sell you. They sell you the guts.
Look at that.
They sell you the guts. Yeah, they sell you the guts, and you just have to drill a few holes and do a few solders, which I did not successfully do the first time around, but a couple of them.
A couple solders later.
I got just enough to make it work if I...
Look at this side. Let's just stick with this side.
Just a little bit to the left,
It looks good. It looks
good. It's centered. It's very centered, I will say.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
I do remember
we measured with a ruler.
We've never built amps, so I'm impressed.
What do you mean we? In Philly, the whole city?
None of us in Philadelphia have ever built an amplifier. We can barely make food in Philadelphia. We put cheese on a steak and then put it on a roll and then hand it to people.
I'm in favor of your pretzels, actually. Mm. I like your Philly pretzels.
Okay.
And I had a messenger bag custom made in Philadelphia because I didn't know any better.
From Reload?
From Reload.
Of course. Classic.
Of course. What, there's people from across the nation.
Yeah. Reload.
Taking the Chinatown bus down to meet Roland and Ellie.
It's
and
a
get
real
their,
deal. Yeah.
Yeah. You want a messenger bag? You go
get
to Reload. You get a Reload bag. You put your cheesesteak in the bag. You go back home.
Oh, God.
And don't
so
mistake us for
and
that
leaky.
Damn Metallica record Reload, okay? It's not the same thing.
I know Dan would love to.
Those cheesesteaks.
I know
South
Dan
Third
would love
Street.
To tour with Metallica. Who would you love to tour with, Eric?
Ooh, who would I love to tour with?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, do you want the joke answer or the real answer? Because, the real answer.
Both.
Okay, real answer is I don't know, David Byrne or something. I would like to, a Talking Heads
that's
reunion
fair,
tour.
That's a fair,
for real.
Real answer.
Play Conga. I would do anything. I would
we'll
play
make a call.
Spoons.
Yeah,
I would do anything with David Byrne. If he had,
Spoons for Byrne.
If
he was, Spoons for Byrne.
If he was
if
like,
you
Eric,
had, if you,
Eric, come
if
here.
You had, Eric, you have 7 minutes in heaven with David Byrne. What do you do?
Ooh, we.
What's
look,
lots of things happen.
You play
spades
and anything. Strip
I'm
poker.
I'm just saying, how do you get into that conversation? You get thrown in the lid. Everybody's giggling on the other side of the door.
Oh, whoa!
And yeah, they're like, oh, Eric and David are going in the closet. Go, go, go! Door closes.
So here we are.
You'd be like, here we are in the closet. We have a blue light. And the light goes to the river. No, I mean, we'd make a sculpture in the closet mm-hmm. that would then play a algorithmic song. Probably. And then that would be it. It would be a 7 minute song that is actually infinite. It's actually an infinitely repeating song.
I didn't think you knew, Eric, but my pacemaker I can hook up to this, and it's the beat of his heart becomes what's going on that sculpture, and that's the vibrations. Yeah. I love it.
It's an art show. The joke answer is that I would bring back the Family Values tour from late night.
Wow. So you want to be in a closet with
Limp
Korn and Ozzy and whoever.
Because I listened to that music a lot when I was 13, 14 years old, and then it completely disappeared. So I never got to go to a Family Values show, and I'm sure they were horrible. I'm sure it was full of the worst men in the world. But I would just...
They synthesized Monster energy drink from the leftovers of the latrines after they filtered out the usable chemical.
Exactly. I think a little tube came down from the ceiling. Everyone got their own little Monster energy, like a hamster. You get a little hamster tube full of Monster energy drinks.
It's kind of how they did it with ICP, but it was just huge jugs of Faygo being slung at you.
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
It says the bands, the headliners for Family Values Tour 99 were Limp Bizkit, Filter, Stained, Korn, The Crystal Method, Mobb Deep, Run DMC, Primus, Seven Dust. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
That's, you know, I would say
Mobb
that's 60-40 of
you say Primus?
Yes to no. That's actually, if I'm thinking about that right now, that's a more than half of those bands I wouldn't mind seeing.
Yeah, I'd see Run DMC.
Still.
I have a question.
Right now, I'd be okay.
I have a question. So, you two have, are your stars of film and stage. When the ICP performs, they spray Faygo everywhere, but they have clown makeup on. How does the clown makeup not get washed off by the Faygo?
Oh,
well,
good call.
Maybe it's a face-off situation where they just have a, you know what I mean?
It's
a back of clown face.
It's tattooed,
that they plop on
it. It's tattooed, Eric, and every time they're in public and they don't want to seem like they are, they actually have makeup on, and they have that kind of money. They have that they have that insane clown posse money.
Money.
You know? Yeah.
You know, I've heard that they're cool. I've heard that they're good people.
There's no reason not to be. I mean, juggalos are cool, and we send respect and love to all the juggalos out there. Right. We're not watching this. Whoop whoop, because they're out doing.
I'm glad that Mike does that. That's what I do every time I walk into a place that I think is haunted. I just go, okay, if anybody's in here, it's just me. I'm just cool, just walking through. I'm gonna keep going now. I'm staying here tonight. I know this is an old place.
Just skipping a stone across this haunted lake before I go swimming.
Just in case anyone's out there, you know, I'm in that bracket. If someone sees me on the street, they might not jump me because I'm a little too big, but also, you know, not too scary, but also I'm too much work. So just throwing that out there, ghost. Leave me alone.
Let's keep going. Also, another idea. You two could be in the Insane Clown Posse biopic because it's a duo.
And there is a tall skinny guy.
Oh, you would be, I could be two dope, but I could be Violent J. I would totally be Violent J. I could do that.
I think so. Danny's a Violent J type.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, fucking Magnus. How do they work?
Yeah. And I'm the road manager in the movie.
Okay. Okay, cool.
I'm like, there's not enough Faygo. I have a cigar. I'm like, there's not enough Faygo for the Detroit crowd.
We can
more Faygo. But it's too much for the rest of America.
I have to say, I went to one of those, and the stage setup was amazing. It was just like fridges everywhere full of Faygo. And
that's it.
Amazing. Yeah, that's they're talking about magnets.
Look, there are enough dispensaries in Michigan that we should be able to find someone to fund this project.
All right, here's a question.
We're calling out
We played breweries last time. This time you want to play dispensaries?
Or Juggalo gatherings.
I'm not sure if they have the same public space.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, that's where all the money is, right?
Yes.
Oh, you want to play banks? Let's totally play banks.
Hey, this...
I would play as many lobbies as you want to, bro.
This Insane Clown Posse biopic is sponsored by...
Is brought to you by BOA.
It's brought to you by special, real, hypnotic energy farms in, you know, Ypsilanti.
What's the...
some you,
Eric, what's the weirdest place you've played?
Ooh, okay. Weirdest place I played... I played at a state fair. And I mean, a state fair is pretty weird. I played at a strawberry festival. I got it. I know exactly what the weirdest place I ever played was. And it was also the weirdest gig I've ever played. I got asked to play in Lambertville, New Jersey at a bar that I've never seen this before in my life. I've never seen this before or since. But like it was half bar, half liquor store. But the bar part of it was like the brown carpet, you know, brown bar, like old paintings. And then there was a hard line in the middle of the bar. And then it was like perfect white, fluorescent lighting. And then you're in the aisle of a liquor store. It was so strange. It was like, David Lynch could not create a world that was that like such disparate, so different. And then So the audience was at the bar. I was playing in front of a wall of liquor, and I didn't know what we were playing. So I got asked to do this gig, and the guy was like, yeah, just like, don't worry, like, I'll just call out a beat and you'll just play a beat. And like halfway through the show, I'm like, I think I know these songs, and I think they're all from Pink Floyd's 1987 album Momentary Lapse of Reason, which is like not an album that has Roger Waters on it. So I was just like, I think we're playing like this 80s Pink Floyd song. And then like the show was from 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. And then the dude drove me home afterwards and I fell asleep in his car. That was definitely a weird one. That one was pretty bad. The worst gig I've ever played was Halloween, Montreal, 2010. And I will never forget this as long as I live, but I'm in middle, it was with Dr. Dog. We're in this big theater, but like we didn't sell it out at all. There's like a 2000 capacity theater, maybe like 150 people came because it's Halloween. People don't go to shows on Halloween unless it's like Kiss or something. So, so I'm playing the first song and my kick drum falls over off the riser, which is embarrassing. It's like you're in the middle of playing and it's just like plop, there it goes. And then I'm playing my snare drum and the snare drum wires that are, you know, on the bottom that's making it sound like a snare drum, they fall off. So it just sounds like bong, bing, bong, bing, bong. And then I kid you not, like a couple songs later, I just feel wetness on my face. I black out and I feel wetness on my face. And I realize that like something soaking wet has been thrown at my face, and I pull it off and it's underwear. Oh. And it's like, and it was like this wide. It was like very wide, wet underwear.
It wasn't soaked in ether. You didn't like completely black out and then come to. It was just a momentary, just like wipe of the face. I'm just like, I'm trying to figure out where the blackout part
lapse
came
of
from.
Reason. Pink Floyd, motherfucker.
That'll get you banned.
It's a momentary lapse of vision. In other words, it was a momentary lapse of vision,
and it was so disgusting and disturbing, and I just ripped it off my face and I was just like, ew. It's and it was raining outside, so like I guess somebody brought it in the rain. It didn't smell bad or weird or like diarrhea or anything, but like it hit my face, and I had to peel it off in front of the audience of 150 in this like 2000 capacity room. I think that might be the most humiliated I've ever been in my life. And other weird fact about that show is I know I can keep going. I should save this for the book, but you know, there was a guy
have a lot of book readers.
I kid you not. So I'm Jewish and there was a guy in the front row dressed as Hitler for Halloween. And in Montreal, he's dressed as Hitler, but like the joke of his costume. So I realized that he had Arcade Fire patches all over his arms, and it said Arcade Führer. And I guess like the joke was that the Arcade Fire like kind of look like Nazis or something. Whatever it was, the joke wasn't landing, and I was just like, okay, like my drum set's broken, I just had underwear thrown at my face, and now I'm staring at Hitler the entire show. It was just like everything added up, and I think that is the worst show I've ever played.
Some encore. Must have been some encore.
I think I taped my snare wires to the bottom of the snare drum to keep them on, and it was rough. It was a rough one.
I was expecting your stool to fly out from under you.
That did happen to me at another show. My stool broke in half.
Ooh.
I was playing in Charleston, West Virginia. Not Charleston, South Carolina, because that would be very different. But I was playing at Charleston, West Virginia. And actually, this is another bad show, because I got there and they were like, I was like, where's the backstage? And the owner was like, it's over there. I think he was Southern. I think he's like, it's over there.
Over
I don't know.
There.
I can't do a Southern accent. Yeah, it's over there. And then I like went to the door and I opened it up and it was a toilet with a bunch of flies around it. that was the dressing room. And then
surrounding
just flies, just a toilet surrounded by flies. And then I halfway through the show was, you know, rocking out, I was playing, and then my seat just went and the metal had broken in half, and so I had to sit on a case for a pedal board, a metal case. For the rest of the show, probably have permanent damage to my tailbone from that one.
Well, that's it. Yeah, your lower lumbar is totally fucked. Sorry, man.
That's all right.
This is what you got to do. It's what you got to do to rock
we
out.
We were doing a
fucked my sacrament, Charleston. Oh.
We were doing a live show in Florida. We had a little Florida tour, and we all get a lot of our tours are audio video, and I'm playing stuff on stage, and we're talking about it, and about. I don't know what, 3 minutes in, I spill an entire beer on my laptop.
Oh, right. Right.
Entire.
What a jerk.
I was like, all right, well, what do we do? We don't have a show now. I turned it upside down, let it dry out a little bit. We just kind of went on as best we could.
We're gonna do one of these Q&As now.
It became
so
a very
got any
large Q&A.
Well,
yeah.
Jeremy
like to open it up to the
has
floor.
To go buy himself a $1,500 new computer because he fucking dumped beer all over it at a brewery.
But the thing
that's
is
the worst part too. Like all they have is beer.
Yeah. I turned it over and it just, I turned it off, turned it over. I don't know what we did. We must've not even had I don't know. But then there was one other one that was bad. It was like Akron or somewhere north Ohio. And the thing I remember is one of the people there wanted to take a picture with Danny and Mike, but they wanted to hold them both in their arms or something. What was it? This was the worst show we've ever done.
They wanted to carry us like a honeymoon or something.
No.
It wasn't Akron. It was somewhere.
Wait, no, it wasn't. It was.
that was Mishawaka.
Mishawaka. Nothing good happens in Mishawaka, Indiana.
Nothing good ever happens in Mishawaka.
And I say that with love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably what 12 people there. I mean, I would take your 150 every day over this, even if it's a bigger
that one.
Like, yeah, it was just some locals.
You're familiar with this experience, Eric, when you walk into the venue and you get sticky shoes right away?
Yes. Yes.
Sticky shoes, barf smell, you know, no hummus backstage. I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah. You know, it's usually it's rough.
All I asked was for some hummus and just a bag of baby
French
carrots.
Have a phrase.
I know it's not great, but I like them.
Yeah.
The French have a phrase for that. It says, sin hummus.
So you did a lot of Floridian touring, and you did a lot of Midwestern touring. So was the Midwestern the worst, or was Florida the worst?
Hey man, we have people that are in both that think they're the best.
That's right, they're the best crowds in the world.
But we already let Mishawaka take the cake.
Yeah, Mishawaka takes
worst games.
Yeah.
I think so far.
We're real big in Ohio, Eric. That's our strong outside of New York and New Jersey. It's like New York, New Jersey, Ohio, PA. You know,
they see
really
themselves, I guess, as the state
Northeast.
That Wellsville exists in, but.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
So we're talking Columbus, we're talking Dayton, we're talking Cleveland.
Cincinnati. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's my people. I was born there. I'm an Ohioan originally.
Really?
So is
my wife.
I'd like to think that I've brought all these Ohioans in. Shout out to Maggie from Dayton to the podcast. You know what I mean? So, who knows if that's true? But maybe they just like Pete and Pete there. I don't know.
Now you mentioned playing a state fair. That sounds like That sounds like a very, that's aspirational for us for sure. Did you deep fry anything while you were there or have anything deep fried?
Of course. I had a deep fried Snickers bar because why not?
Yeah. Okay.
And I got to watch the pig race, which is incredible. I don't know if you've ever seen a pig race before.
Do they oil
which
them up?
State? It depends on which state we're talking about here.
This was Minnesota.
The pigs talk up here though. The pigs are up here,
Don't you know? Yeah. So the pigs. Yeah. Okay. So first to get to the pigs, we walk through these aisles of like prized chickens. Like there was a hut of prized chickens that had like awards, and they were awarding these chickens like cock of the walk. Like these are the best chickens literally. In the world. Literally. And then you walk through the chickens, and then there's a pig race, and I don't know if you know this, but the pigs, there's like a little Cheeto on a string that they're, that's what the pigs are trying to
that's
catch.
That's what they
it.
Chase.
That's the bunny in the
Who
dog
knew?
Racing. Yeah.
It makes sense. I didn't know
they're
that.
chasing a Cheeto. That's why, and it's small enough. It's like dangling the carrot, but it's a Cheeto.
For the listener, Danny is feigning ignorance. Like he didn't know that pigs like to chase the Cheeto. Danny's playing like he doesn't know.
All I know is that when I was in middle school, my dad told me if I was chasing the Cheeto too much, that I was going to go blind. So I.
That's true, though.
It's one of those things when someone says that, I'm like, oh man, pig race chasing the Cheeto. Oh,
it was in the training montage in Rocky, right? We need greasy, fast speed. You got to chase the Cheeto all around this backyard until you get fast enough to catch him.
It's on there.
Chasing the Cheeto.
Yep. Yeah. Just get that one
chase
last.
Chase the Cheeto, you son of a bitch. Because Mickey loves you.
Somehow I got it backwards because I thought they would lube up those pigs, but that's when people are trying to chase them and grab them.
No, this is when you're all out of meth and you're reduced to just rooting through the trash.
You can
and
only
just
get you
smoking
can only
whatever
get the,
is in
you
the
can
bottom
only get
of
get those pig lube videos on Pirate Bay now. Yeah. You can't
Animal
yeah.
Hub or something.
Very,
yeah.
very hard to get those pig lube videos.
Pig Hub.
Yeah. The pigs, you know, it's like a horse racing track, and then, you know, just to keep it focused here. So the pigs,
not going to happen. You're on the wrong podcast for focus. Two of the three of us are on meds. One of us is a dad.
Sure.
Two of us is a dad.
Sure. Yeah. The pigs had incredible names, though. There's like, and here comes Samuel.
Oh, sure. If you had a racing pig, would you not want to distinguish it from all the other racing pigs?
Lord Oinkington coming in third.
Yeah, they have to be puns. They have to.
You know, if I can take a stand right now about the snowplowification of public naming rituals now, like What's... ever since. You know about this?
No.
No. Let's like, hear about like, it.
I'm not even sure
well,
what
no,
snow
I mean,
plowification
for, first they were, the snow plowification of public naming is like now we name all our snowplows publicly after people submit you know, all these names online and we vote on them. But whenever they're like trying to decide to rename something, whatever a public thing is, it's always like Eric McErickson, you know, like there's always like that choice always like surges to the lead. Like everybody votes that up of whatever it is, like Plowy McPlowerson, that always is that.
Yeah.
So that always happens whenever you try to rename something publicly, like it'll happen to the melted down statue of Christopher Columbus from South Philly, you know what I mean? Or whatever, you know, what are they going to do with that thing?
Ooh. Melt that shit down.
Yeah, that's going to be the hot tub at my show.
Ooh.
Phil Mocha. Phil Mocha from what's his name? Frank Rizzo to Phil Mocha.
Look, well, if you're looking to play a show in a mausoleum or potentially, I did a show there once for good comedy and they had like, it was like guess the tripping kid, and I had to like guess which one of like 10 people on stage were tripping on mushrooms.
Oh,
and it was very fun, but it was it seemed
I appreciated
to be
the
it
challenge.
Seemed, it seemed to be most fun for the person who was on the mushrooms, but you know, and trying
guess
to
why.
Like figure out because then there were like comedians like trying to pretend like they were getting all tweaked out, but then you could tell the real one who was like standing in the corner with his hand in his pants in front of people, kind of being like, well, you must be tripping because
he was chasing the Cheeto is what you're saying.
He was chasing the Cheeto. Sorry, I did a comedy show at Philomoka too, and it was called The Internet is Forever. And what's funny is that it was like, what's the most embarrassing thing about you that's still on the internet? And you talk about it on stage. And for me, it was a public access show that I was on in 2006 when I was tripping. So and it wasn't tripping by choice. I was in a Frank Zappa cover band that was on tour, and which that's a whole other story.
Yeah, you can leave it at that, probably.
I was in a Frank Zappa cover band that was on tour, and when I got to the venue in Rochester, there were a bunch of brownies backstage, and it was my first tour ever. I was like 18 years old, so I just started shoveling brownies in my mouth, and they were loaded with weed, and I had a full I had a full-blown hallucination. I was like fully hallucinating, and in the intermission of, so these Zappa shows we did were long, so 3 hours long, and we had an intermission, in the middle of the show, and I went backstage like dripping, pouring with sweat, like I was hallucinating. I can't believe I even played the show. And I got backstage, and there was a full camera crew, which was like very unusual. So there's a full camera crew and a guy dressed up in a rabbit suit with a tiny little rabbit on his hand with a tiny microphone, like the pets.com sock or whatever, you know? Oh, and and I was the only one back there. And I remember entering the backstage and just stopping and being like, there's a rabbit back here. There's a full size rabbit.
But like a
with a camera.
Triumph the Comic insult dog type thing.
Kind of like that. His name was Piss Pot the Rabbit, yeah. And he was kind of like making fun of me. And he put
like a mean furry.
Like a mean furry. He came up to me with a like fake rabbit teeth and put them in my mouth. Well, also like non-consensual, just like
that
shoved.
That doesn't fly in the COVID.
Yeah. Just shoved rabbit teeth in my mouth and then started interviewing me. And I'm like, there's a rabbit talking to me. There's a camera crew. My parents are going to see this someday. And it lives in public access.
Stay cool.
Yeah. I had to walk away. I walked away like 2 minutes into the interview because I was just like, I think I said, this has got to stop.
Take your fucking rabbits. Eric, I apologize for interrupting. You were about to tell us which city's public access we could find this gem on. You were about to say Rochester.
Rochester. Yeah, it's somewhere.
Minnesota, right?
This was Rochester, New York.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kodak's got deep pockets.
Yeah, it's true.
I feel like it's something that people a generation ago would not ever think. Obviously, would not ever think about, which is like, what is the worst thing on the internet about me? That's something that's totally a problem of the last 30 years. And honestly, I'm not sure what that is. I mean, I played a part as a pedophile in a comedy sketch, basically called Stan.
Jesus,
which, you know,
that's not a bad no. That's
probably the worst thing. And you fucked the blow up doll. So
I did. That's, I did.
I don't know I about
Mark. Our sketch comedy days, chasing human giant, trying to be shocky, turned into
forever pivoting to video. You could never stop pivoting.
Forever fucking a blow up doll on video.
It's new world problems.
Not really. You know, it's movie magic. I could never get up. I couldn't get up for the doll. She just wasn't doing it for me.
You had a few hits. You had a few hits in there.
Few, yeah. Just the one with you, probably.
But you know, those are some things you can't control. But like, I have audio, or Jeremy has audio sitting underneath him right now in a
bunker,
in a safe.
I don't think I have that anymore.
2.5 years ago, where we did a show in Long Beach, California, and I got very drunk because the owner. This place. Did you ever play D Piazza's? It's like a kind of like, it was like an old, you know, Long Beach staple. Was around for a long time. And
no.
This place, D Piazza's, the guy, he sold it, but he was a fucking drunk. And he like sweet talked me with some drinks, and we were like having fun. He was talking about Fernet Branca, and I was like, oh, I like Fernet Branca. And he's like,
oh God,
we sell the most Fernet Branca of anyone. Like blah blah blah, like I'll drink you under the table, or like, you know, something stupid. And I was in whatever. I indulged him because I sometimes was like, oh, whatever, I can hang with this dude. He got me so drunk, and we did this.
One of the worst nights of my life.
And yeah, Jeremy's very upset about it, and the sound guy happened to just keep recording as you do. And it's like a very like embarrassing drunk moment in my life that could easily. I have to pay him $150 a month just to keep it in that safe right now.
It's funny.
It was $75, and then it was $100, and he's like, oh,
inflation, man.
And he was like, oh, it's the pandemic, $150, and so that's where we're at now.
To be honest, I'm looking for it, and it's not here, so it may be out in the world already. It might be being leaked on.
I hope it's not out in the world.
Perhaps octopus like it crawled up out of the case on its own accord and crawled across the room.
But do I have something when I become so irrelevant that I could just put that out myself to be like, oh, funny guy, remember this guy? And then like, boom, I get back out there.
Yeah, that's the
I can't
thing
tell
that we'll
like when to use, you know, when to use this leverage that I have. Any thoughts?
It's the exact same thing I said. Is when do I use this leverage that I have?
You only have one EM. You only have one EMP. Okay.
Yeah.
Try not to fuck this up.
Ugh.
All right, the whole matrix is coming at you right now.
Ooh, wow, that was a good pregnant pause, guys. Look at that.
We owe, there's at least one per episode.
That was really nice. It
probably
really
what we should name the podcast, to be honest.
I think we should aim. I think we should aim for doing a state fair. I think that that is a good thing. If we can't get hit with underwear in the face, we should at least aspire to doing. And I'm not ruling that out.
Yeah.
I think we should. I think we should aspire to doing a state fair that would kick ass. I think.
I think we can try to do that. We can try to do that.
If you need an opener, you know, I'll tour with you guys. You know, I'll be there.
Spoons.
Yeah, we'll
spoons and burn, slick and burn.
We'll buy the extra large underwear.
Burn and slick.
Soak them in the water
you could
for
do
you.
Do new country. Burn and slick.
Oh.
Burn and slick. 7 minutes in heaven. That's the name of the record. Like it's done.
It's an EP. That record is an EP, bro.
Oh.
7 minutes in heaven.
Hey. So.
That three song EP right there.
Well, look, because the people who watched Pete and Pete when they were little, who were grew up with it or whatever, who are still into it and will post things. Just today, somebody sent me a still from the episode Tool and Die, which has you and Ellen in the background, and right in the foreground as an extra, Alicia Keys.
Mm.
This is breaking news. Alicia Keys was an extra on Pete and Pete, and I have proof. And I'll send it to everybody. We can post it on this podcast.
Why don't we ask Alicia Keys before we break
it? Let's go to Alicia.
Why don't we just check with Alicia Keys before we break news on this podcast?
I will show you the picture, and you tell me that she's not. And I didn't do any of the Googling. I'm not saying that I was stalking anybody into seeing what they were doing when they were younger, but apparently she was a young child actor in
we have some
the
cool
New York
fans
area.
Out there.
I'm just saying. This is big news. The last big news like this was Hunter S. Thompson, but it wasn't Hunter S. Thompson. Just
Concrete Jungle.
Hunter Thompson.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a... Why did nobody tell us that Hunter S. Thompson was in Pete and Pete? That's so psychedelic, bro. That's because it wasn't.
It's just who was it?
Man. Another
man.
Guy named Hunter Thompson.
So it's not just a clever name, okay?
Truth. Yeah. Not just a clever name. That's right. Anywho, I just wanted to break some news to everybody. I don't know how you feel about that, but
I think this should be fact checked like repeatedly before we break the news. That's all.
No, I'm telling you. Trust me. I am in the name of the show. There's a Pete or Ann Pete. Either one could be me, and I'm telling you to believe me that Alicia Keys was an extra in our show. And so at some point that means
makes
Alicia
me damn
Keys
proud.
Means that Alicia Keys had to sit in a penned-in area away from the talent, which is sad because if I ever meet her, then that's what she's going to know me as someone who's like, oh, you were better than me when I was 11 years old. And I don't know
that you automatically have to put yourself in that dynamic.
I mean, that's how I feel, though. It's like, oh, she was an extra. They had to sit in the penned off thing and don't talk to the actors. And did I not talk to her?
You
was
keep
I
saying
nice
a pen.
Her?
You keep saying a pen. You know what
I mean?
Like
the old background.
You're summoning
a pen.
Oh, my
God. Did. You don't
like
want to be background. You don't want to
like
be background.
Like a pig.
They goose them up. They're goose
that's
suits.
Right.
They goose them
that's
up.
What, you know, it was
goose
weird.
Them up.
It was very
it's a circus
weird.
Term.
They were like, okay, we'll have Samuel and we'll have the giant pigaroo. I mean, Ashley and Tom, we need you to see in the set, please.
Raking bacon coming around the bend.
Raking bacon, make sure you hit your mark, please. Look down.
We're all just chasing the cheetah.
We're all just chasing the cheetah. We found most of our contestants in this next race on exploretalent.com.
Here's a question, Dave.
How
for you, Danny? You famously kissed Jessica Biel once. We've talked about this on the podcast. If you had both Jessica Biel and Alicia Keys side by side, and you could only kiss one, with permission, obviously, we're an equal. You know, permission type thing. Who are you picking?
Oh boy.
Consent. He's talking about consent, which is
it's got to be 100% consensual.
It's got to be 100% consensual.
For me, it's 100% Alicia
Keys. Yeah, I don't
think
you have a shot with either in that case.
Yeah,
but
no,
grown up
not.
Alicia Keys, for the record. Yeah.
I mean, oh, okay, well, you know.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Stan, for clarifying that.
Oh, you mean I could go back in time? I don't know, I mean, you know, I guess... Truth be told, and my wife will tell you, those Alicia Keys was my celebrity pass. So,
ooh,
and that so today kind of actually fucked me up a little bit, because it kind of like is what I'm saying to you about like, oh,
the pass is neutralized. I can't use the pass.
If she ever meets me, she'll think that I was better than her when I was alive.
Turned
like
into
that.
Seinfeld 2022.
Yeah, you thought I was making a joke. That's real life. How I think right now. I'm like, oh my God. So this whole, the whole thing is shattering for me right now.
I actually would like to see you and Alicia Keys do a duet of Set the Night to Music.
Pregnant pause.
I think you could do that, man, in a falsetto. I think you could handle that.
I don't know.
I'm guest feature on new Alicia Keys record. I think that's the goal.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, yeah, that could be. I like that. I think that's a
good
idea.
Because like, you know, whenever you meet somebody you meet somebody who is from your past, and then you're like, oh, you were an extra on my show. And then they're like, I don't care. And then
it doesn't matter anymore.
I'm a Grammy Award winning multi-talented. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, you were an extra in my show. Like, I'm just going to live in 1994,
living,
95
yeah, you're living in the then.
Forever. Yeah. Like, oh, no, 1995. Yeah. Alicia Keys, she did anything. She had to go through me.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, Alicia, what was it like? Did you audition? And she's just like, she's like on her phone. She's like, I can't talk right now. I got a lot going on. We can't do this.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of background work in Jersey those days. I can't remember what TV show it was.
Yeah.
Was it your show? Was it Monk? I can't remember.
I remember those days that you guys didn't feed us that day. Yeah, there was no food on set.
I swore revenge.
So you remember that thing where you told everybody that no one else was allowed to have those blue M&Ms. Only Danny could have them. And Alicia Keys liked them too, and I yelled at her. You can't have those blue M&Ms.
I don't
if
believe
only
you.
We could get to that level of pettiness, you know what I mean? Like of rider pettiness. That'd be amazing.
I don't think you're going to get it. I don't think you're going to get it playing the dispensaries off against the breweries at this point. You got to aim a little bit.
Hey guys, don't let them
deep fry those M&Ms.
Hold on a second. Just for the record, don't let them fool you, Eric Slick. I when I book these shows for their little fun nostalgia personifieds, and they get to pretend to be in bands for a couple of days.
What are you talking about?
They love the fact that I have a rider that when we get there to like a burlesque bar in Columbus, Ohio, that they have hummus and carrots for us. And that
you're the one who left the pizza on the roof of the minivan.
Of Maker's Mark. And there is some stuff. So don't that's true. It's all the stuff that I want, but they kind of like some.
I mean, it was taken from the Jounce rider, let's be honest. It's a copy and paste.
Let's be honest. It's a copy and paste. So
that's true. Yeah. That's true. I changed a little bit. I know he's a vegetarian.
That's true. That's very thoughtful of him. Yes, I do appreciate it.
And times, you gotta blow up that $20 per person dinner.
Okay, deep fried M&Ms. That's my $1 billion idea takeaway from this episode.
Yeah. Deep fried M&Ms, that exists. Yeah. I'm sure you can get that down the shore.
Oh, deep fried desexualized green M&Ms.
Oh, desexualized.
That's 2022 right there, bud. 21.
In a nutshell, yeah.
See, this is why I knew this.
And his hi-hat falls off. The bottom of the hi-hat like falls down.
See the snare move. Yeah.
That's a rim shot.
That's my dream is to have a burger inside of the hi-hat like Burger Time.
Oh and, yeah. You know, oh yeah. Burger inside. Yes. I would love to have a burger inside my hi-hat.
$2 billion ideas right there.
Wow.
I feel like it would be dips or something.
So what you do is you get one of those you know what you put your wax, your weed wax in those, what are they?
Your silicone drum.
Your silicone stuff, right? And that's what you put it in. You just use that. And then the burger sits in that. So when the hi-hat closes on it, it stays in place.
There have been times.
In the moments when you're just like having that, like, you know, 30-second break, and it's just like you're just hitting downbeat crash cymbals, you can pull your hand out and just take a bite and put it back in and get right back to it.
Or.
But don't get your hand caught in there, bro.
No, but yeah. I mean, you know, you got to learn. You got to get bit a couple times.
I got the Zildjian with the teeth.
Or you put sternos under the bottom hi-hat.
Stupid.
Under the bottom hi-hat. You put the hamburger meat in the hi-hat in between. And while you're playing,
you talk about whirly burgers. You talk about whirly burgers on tour. I love this.
I'm just saying.
I just want a human to stand next to me and feed me while I play.
That's a drum tech, right?
It's a drum tech, yeah. But like, there's been so many times during a show where I'm like, oh, I'm so hungry.
I need a nutrition tech.
Yeah, I think Anthony Kiedis has one from Red Hot Chili Peppers. I swear to God, I think he has a table. I've heard a rumor. He has a table of candy. He has a candy table. And he like opens it up and he's like, eats it real quick and then gets back on the mic. He's like, la, la,
la, playing a fun. I'm playing a fun. Summer. That's it.
Laughter's more than just a mood, too. He's like, he just ate too many Jolly Ranchers. He gets back up because he was just like, you know.
So Jolly Ranchers? That's the candy you went to. You didn't
that's go to.
Which is weird because that would take way too long. That would be a lot of interludes for Anthony Kiedis to be backstage going.
No, he can afford a guy. He can afford a guy to pre-peel
he's
those.
Got, Mama
no,
Bird
no, no,
it?
No, yeah. He also doesn't have teeth. They're all, you know, he pulled them all out.
Yeah.
He pulled out all his teeth. He's got a whole
that's
bunch
why
of
he
fake
can,
teeth, you know?
He can afford a guy to turn those into Jello shots.
Look,
the Jolly Ranchers. They call them Jolly Shots. $3 billion idea of the episode. Jolly Shots. Jolly Rancher Jello Shots. I'm here.
I'm pretty sure that exists.
I'm in a Philaco and I'm in the knitting factory in Brooklyn.
I'm pretty sure that already exists, Michael.
Jeremy, give me a fact
check. Yeah,
I'm fact
checking. I want to know why it's called Jolly Ranchers.
Fact check. Give me fact check, baby.
I like that Jolly Ranchers was your first choice because, like, that's a deep pull.
He's Dayton.
I don't really.
He's like, oh, bonkers. You're chewing on a bonkers.
Hey, what is that? You guys got the new Ferraro shares?
I love Ferraro.
Oh, that's a touch of sophistication right there. You with Fernet Branca, you just gave yourself away. That was like, we've had a couple of Homer Simpson indicators here on this episode here tonight. You just rack yourself another 6 points, I think. That's 6 points, bro. You might be longer till you get your license back.
I love Ferrero Rocher, but I also love the Lindt commercial where the chef has the whisk.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like,
they're filling up the ball of chocolate.
He's filling up a ball of chocolate with a whisk. And that chef just looks so happy to be doing it.
My life's work.
You guys want to know something? Don't buy Lindt online from the company themselves, or they will forever send you text messages. I get Lint
Danny,
text messages.
It's Marie Lint thinking of you. You know it's Christmas Eve, right? There's still time. There's plenty of time, Danny. Marie Lint says, this is how you care for your family.
No time like President's Day to have more chocolate. 25% off.
Fuck.
Danny, it's Nancy Pelosi. You should buy some Lindt chocolate. It's time to buy some Lindt chocolate.
It's like every time I open my email, it's somebody else's.
Yeah.
Jolly Ranchers first appeared in 1949 when Bill and Dorothy Harmsen founded the Jolly Rancher Company. Originally, only sold products to kids living in the Denver, Colorado area, and they purposely gave the company the friendliest name imaginable, so it would be appealing as possible to consumers. AKA Stan loves Jolly Ranchers.
Harpsum.
So it's Harm S E N.
Hey, honey, what do you guys want to do today?
Right, as in, if you put poison in the candy, you might harm some kids.
Oh, they made it post, because ice
post
cream.
Post-World War II, he came back. He's like riding high. He's doing well. He's got his brick fucking house. He's stoked. And he's just trying to figure out his next move. And he's got all of this, like, you know, I don't know. How the fuck do you mean Jolly Ranchers? I was going for something and I just derailed on it.
No, it's great. I loved it.
Because it's hard to.
Jeremy, like, can you explain? Did he accidentally fall into a vat of acid or something? What's the origin, sir?
Because ice cream wouldn't sell in Colorado in the winter.
Of course.
There you go.
Necessity. Yep. But a Jolly Rancher is like a sticky. It's like, it reminds me when when you're making sugar, when you're heating up sugar in the pan, and then you forget about it and it burns. And then that's what a Jolly Rancher is to me.
I lived on grape Jolly Ranchers. Still do. Still love them, for the record. Send us your grape Jolly Ranchers too. Danny and Mike, P.O. Box. We don't have a P.O. Box.
P.O. Box, don't bring that shit to me.
Yeah.
I just eat Pocky Sticks. That's my sugar.
Ooh, shout out.
Oh.
Yeah, what's everybody's sugar addiction?
Love Pocky. Love a little Stroop waffle too.
Oh,
Stroop waffle. Very waffle? Good.
You guys are rocking.
I'll spend an extra $300 on a plane ticket for a free Stroop waffle from United Airlines. Why not?
Wait, they give away Stroop waffles?
Yeah. On the European.
That's all I know about.
On like Lufthansa too, like you get the cup of coffee. You get the cup of coffee on the plane, then you put the Stroop waffle on top of the coffee. It melts the Stroop waffle. That's what you're supposed to do.
That's how it works.
That's how it works.
Here it is. Stroop waffle hi-hats.
Okay.
There it is. Fourth billion dollar idea of the episode.
I didn't know if I would ruin the podcast, but apparently I did.
No, you did great. Oh, well. You did great.
You've done.
There's
great.
The door.
I mean, you could do
There's
a whole edible drum kit. Sure, that's been done.
Where can you give us some plugs for the? For the finale of this wonderful podcast, full of twists and turns at every
wonder.
Every turn.
Some wonder.
All right, I'll try to do my best plug voice here. Cool. I got an album called Wiseacre that came out in 2020. It's still available on all streaming services and bandcamp.com. You could see me at the Knitting Factory on March 1st in Brooklyn. You could see me on March 2nd at Philomoka in Philadelphia. And you can see me the rest of the year touring as a drummer in a band called Waxahachie. You can buy tickets at waxahachie.com. Ooh. Got more professional as I went. I had to get into the character.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
Do you have a website or a Twitter or something you use most often?
Well, of course I have a website, ericslick.com. You can follow me on Instagram at Strange America. You can follow me on Twitter at Eric Slick Music.
I mean, I feel like
that's how you do it.
Yeah, that was like solid.
Sum it up like a pro.
You know, if you want like more pee pee poo poo content, just follow me and you'll get it. You'll get whatever.
That is our bread and butter.
Weird thing.
Your pee pee poo poo is our bread and butter.
Thank you. Ew, it's disgusting.
Yeah, no, not literally.
No,
it's our body and blood. It's our body and blood.
What's that beautiful
bean footage?
No, there's the guy who's a sanitation, guy who picks up shit. He says, your shit is my bread and butter.
Well, that's where it came from. Back in my hometown, there was a sanitation guy who would suck the shit out of toilets, I guess, or whatever they do. And he's on his truck, it said, your shit
is my bread and
butter. I believe
it's probably the opposite.
Really? Do we have ocular proof? Can we get
it's an old Ohio joke. So those are rare. It's going to be hard to find.
Okay. I'm going to do a deep Google search, and it's going to be really bad. I'm going to put safe search on.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to get a list just for searching for it.
Well,
and you'll deserve it.
Yep.
I'll be in private mode looking at whatever this is.
I think it could be a Chasing the Cheeto joke, but I feel like it's not the Cheeto. Never mind.
Yeah.
Hey.
Never stop chasing that cheetah.
Hey, part of the Last Podcast Network. Check them out, lastpodcastnetwork.com, for all of their great shows. Also, check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/.
I like Eric's voice better.
Listen, I'll send you a copy. You can do it.
We can just have a
play it. Check us out on patreon.com/Danny and Mike. Also, check out Danny on Twitter.
If you have suggestions for Jeremy's segues, let us know at 347-470-8150. It's the Danny and Mike hotline.
Yeah. That's true.
Patreon.com/Danny and Mike. And also, you can find Danny at D Tamborelli on the Twits, at Danny Tamborelli on the Instagram. Michael is at Michael C. Marona on the Twits. I am at
only on the Twits.
Remy Balin on most things. Also producing a new podcast called Bottle of White, Bottle of Red, a Billy Joel and Wine podcast where we pair one side of a Billy Joel album with a white and one side with red. Check them out.
Oh god.
Right now it's available, episode one, Cold Spring Harbor. And that, my friends, is how you
bottle of red.
Oh, and who does the theme song that almost ripped off the song?
No, we were very particular about not getting sued.
We were very,
yeah, theme yeah, song by Z. Danny Tamborelli.
With a Z.
Thank you so much.
Yep. And, you know, the next podcast, which will probably be like a Grace Slick and like appetizer podcast, calling one person, Mr. Eric Slick.
Oh, wow. That's actually a great idea.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
Let's just run it back.
Let's just roll into that right now. We're all still here, so let's just keep going. Yeah.
You review every record that Grace Slick played on, and you just play up that you were related to her in some
way. I mean, I am related to her.
Well, there you go.
See? Yeah. I know.
Episode one, first and last episode.
Well, you know, if you just tease that a little more, it'll be great. You know, you were doing an ancestry.com and you guys just happened
Try
to match on
it
each
out.
Other.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit.
Now I know where I got it from.
Yeah.
There's also, you know, they always say that if you want a popular podcast, make it about ancestry.com. Nobody said that.
What?
Eric, thank
no
you
one
so
has
much.
Ever said.
Thank you.
Oh,
such a
it
pleasure.
Was my pleasure.
That was ours. It was Danny's.
It was
Mike's. Mine.
You know, we smiled, we laughed, we loved.
And
we had seasons in the sun.
We had seasons in the sun.
The cheetah. Oh. That's the main thing, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for tuning in.
Okie dokie.
We will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Eric.
Bye.
The Adventures of Danny and Mike stars Danny Tamborelli and Michael C. Marona. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Baylor. This podcast is part of the Last Podcast Network, which can be found at lastpodcastnetwork.com. Make sure to check that out for a ton of great shows. For more information on the guys, visit our website at dannyandmike.com. Also, look us up on Twitter at Danny and Mike with the N spelled out, and on Facebook at facebook.com/theadventuresofdannyandmike. Thanks for listening.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors. You can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.